This is The Thing About Cars, a podcast for car enthusiasts and the people who love them.
Oh, this is The Thing About Cars. Thank you for joining us. As usual, I'm Mickey.
I'm Ben.
I'm Katrina.
And we're just here to talk about cars and wanted to take a quick moment to invite you guys to check out our Facebook page and be sure to submit your questions and ideas and just general observations about cars on our Facebook page. It is The Thing About Cars, just like that. We'll also soon have a website up and possibly some other social media things happening, but we look forward to hearing from you guys online. I think today we're going to talk about safety and car safety in particular. Katrina, I think you were talking about something a second ago that I think's worth that's worth mentioning.
Yeah, starting on April 19th, there's a new app called Chariot for Women. There's an Uber driver who is who started their own business, and it's all female drivers, and they only pick up women. And as a female, there is something about just getting into some stranger's car that has arrived at your house that you don't know this person. We've all heard the Uber stories,
yeah.
Whether they may things that have allegedly happened. Whether they're true or not, and I think as a woman, I think it's a great idea, because safety it's a very real thing. When you're getting into a stranger's car.
Well, it's something I take for granted. I'm not a small guy, and yet I'm painfully aware of how self-conscious other people, women in particular, have to be when making those decisions. And it just pains me that it has to be that way. I'm like, okay, can't we all just take care of each other? But unfortunately, we don't live in that world.
So. Yeah, I'm of two minds of it. On the one hand, if you look at any set of numbers, this is the safest time in history to be alive, and it's only getting safer. Things happen less and less. Not saying they don't, but they become less and less likely every day, although we become more and more aware of them when they do. So on the one hand, you've got, are we fear-mongering? But on the other hand, there are, even if we are or aren't, there's some other great positives to this thing. There's just that women can hang out together while they're driving thing. You know, there's a good social aspect to it.
Traveling in groups.
Absolutely. Well, and even in a group setting, when I leave work on Wednesday nights, I work at the Independent on Wednesday nights and do a music trivia show. And I leave at night, and it's around 12:30, and I have my laptop with me, and I'm walking out into a dark parking lot, and there are nights that just a shadow, you're like, oh goodness.
But you have an escort, right? You do have an escort, right?
Yes, all the time.
Yes.
All the time. There's always a police officer or one of the guys from the bar,
right,
will escort me to my car, and that's something that, you're right, that men don't have to think about.
I kind of like the idea of the app. I mean, if it makes people a little more comfortable with actually just getting about their day, I'm a huge fan.
Sure, so, yeah.
Yeah.
And especially if you're not at 100% and you've had a couple of drinks in you, and it's very easy to make terrible decisions.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you, it is more comfortable that way. If you're getting into a car and it's,
yeah,
you know, it's going to be a woman and she's going to make sure you get home safely and not try to take advantage of you or whatever. I think it's a great idea, and I wish him well. I think it's,
yeah.
Yeah. I wonder how many Uber drivers and Lyft drivers in general are women.
That's a very good question. I don't know.
I wonder what the split on that is. We'll have to look that up. But is this thing happening? Where is this thing happening, Katrina? Has he looked? Do you know where that? Katrina's looking this up as we speak, so.
Because I have a 4-year-old and I don't actually get to read anymore. I think it is nationwide, but I could be wrong. Just Google Chariot for Women.
Yeah, we'll have to check that out.
Absolutely, yeah.
Cool.
I was gonna say something.
Yeah.
For me, as a
woman. That's Misty talking. She's our sound guru.
Production goddess Misty.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. I was just gonna say, because Uber is brought up now, as a person in a wheelchair and also a woman, obviously. I recently moved to a different part of town just so I wouldn't have to use Uber as much, because before I was living in another part of Atlanta, and 3 to 4 times a week I was using Uber going various locations, and 9 times out of 10 it would be a male driver. And so Uber, female Uber drivers are very rare. So I like the idea of this app that you're...
I think it's probably rare because there's the... At a very young age, when I started driving, when we all started driving, of course, I learned at the age of 15, the first piece of advice I was given was, I don't care where you are, I don't care who it is, you don't stop and help anybody.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
I had the opposite take on that.
Because you're a man.
I'm a guy and I know how to handle myself.
Right.
Yeah.
And over the years, there have been many times where I'm driving down the road and I think to myself, oh my goodness, that person needs help.
Right.
Unfortunately, they could be a serial killer. I don't know.
Right.
So I'm happy to make a phone call for you, but I'm not, I will not stop.
The more unfortunate reality nowadays, though, is that you help somebody, it goes well, they go on their way, and then you wind up getting sued by them over something. Especially if there's first aid or injury involved.
That could be a whole other podcast.
Yes, it could.
So I think the reason that there probably aren't a lot of female Uber drivers is just simply because, again, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know who's getting in your car.
I'm thinking ahead, and forgive me for not knowing if Uber doesn't already do this, but you can select certain features of your Uber experience, like you need a SUV or something.
Mm-hmm.
Does Uber let you pick the sex of your driver?
No.
Mm-mm.
So in order to compete with this guy, I bet Uber and Lyft is going to implement that. If I were an app developer, that's what I would do.
Right,
probably.
Right.
So,
I mean, we are 50% of the population. So
yeah.
So in the meantime, in the absence of this app, what are some safety things that any of us could do if we're using one of these things? Because there was that guy who was the shooter, an Uber driver who was the shooter in one place, and the last fare of the day, I think, just got lucky. Maybe the guy ran out of steam or something, but...
Well, it's sort of like whenever I go on a date, which is few and far between. Shocking, I know. But I always tell a girlfriend, or sometimes even my mother, that, okay, this is where I'm going. This is who I'm meeting. This is the address
that
we're meeting. If you don't hear from me by a certain time, get concerned.
Yeah.
So you can do a snapshot of your Uber driver because it tells you who it is, and I text it to somebody.
Oh, that's cool. So you can actually do a screenshot of the thing and send
that
to somebody.
I just take a picture of it and text it
that's brilliant.
To a girlfriend.
It gives the make and model of the car and the license plate as well.
Yep. Oh, that's cool.
Oh, yeah. And there's a record of who you're with. You know, this is not an anonymous system. If anything happens, they know exactly who you've dealt with.
Right, right.
Huh. See, I'm not yet an adopter of these systems yet. I need to get in there and you start using them.
Oh, yeah. In fact, both Uber and Lyft use, they both do background checks for drivers. I've driven for Lyft a little bit, and before I was approved to do that, they actually sent somebody in person to meet with me and look at my car and check everything out. I had to take them on a sample drive.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I wouldn't call it a job interview. It didn't feel like that at all. It was very friendly and congenial, but it was still an exam.
Just want to make sure you're not taking a corner on two wheels.
Exactly, yeah. And that person took my picture, which everybody who hails me for a ride sees. They see my picture, my name, and my rating as a driver. And any driver who in Lyft whose rating falls below a certain point, I think they're given a chance to remediate, but if your rating consistently stays below a certain point, you're out.
Wow.
And the drivers can rate the passengers too, and the same thing happens. A problem passenger doesn't get to use the system anymore.
I think that's a great idea. In this article where it's talking about the Chariot for Women app, it says, according to BuzzFeed News, a former Uber customer service representative provided screenshots of a search query of the Uber database in which driver tickets are stored. The results are disturbing. A search for the word sexual assault returned 6,160 tickets, and
what?
The search rape returned 5,827 individual tickets. That's shocking.
It
from
is.
Uber drivers.
Mm-hmm.
In spite of background checks.
I think they just started doing background checks.
They weren't before.
They weren't before.
Huh.
Interesting.
So, yeah. It's a problem.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, also on the safety edge, I mean, situational awareness is always critical.
Yes.
But what else can a person do? Traveling in groups is one thing, but I'm a big fan of just being able to handle yourself and knowing something about basic self-defense, even though I hate that it should ever be required. Yeah. But I think having that confidence of walking into a situation and knowing that you could kick everyone's ass in the room actually goes a long way to not needing to do it.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And don't check the Thing About Cars Facebook page while you're driving.
Right. That's also, yes.
Now you tell me.
Yeah. Yes.
Great.
We should probably do a podcast from the road one day. We do have some portable recording equipment.
Yeah.
Yeah. This thing can actually run on batteries.
Oh, cool.
We should make me change a tire.
You're the one who said it.
Right. So, yes, future episode, Katrina will be changing a tire.
Or maybe we could have one where I'm driving us all through US 60 north of Dahlonega and everybody but me is screaming in fright. I'm giggling with glee, you know. That's one of those roads that is one of those wee tight hairpins. And,
yeah. And we need to get Mick on this show.
A what?
Mick.
Oh.
Madigan. He would be good.
Yeah.
He would have fun. Anyway, sorry, I'm thinking out loud.
He does that. Just
yes.
Pardon him.
That's what I do. So, cool. What else do we have on the agenda today? We're going to talk about safety, and I think Misty also had a good question from earlier on. Misty, what was it?
As a person that is going to be driving, going into a car lot, what are the questions to ask?
As
a first-time car buyer, so as not to be lured in by the salesperson.
Okay.
And just buying a car because it's pretty.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's an excellent question.
Practicality and longevity.
Well, rather than asking the salesperson questions, I think it's more valuable to do research on your own before you go. If there's a kind of car you're interested in, look it up. Get on the internet and learn everything you can. Look for a lot of user reviews. Look for, you know, reports on reliability. And an interesting thing, too, would be to look on websites such as tire retailers. Go to Tire Rack or Discount Tire or something and just look and see. Enter the tire size of that car and look to see what people say. They'll be talking about the tires, but you might glean some other interesting things from that.
I would also suggest that picking up Consumer Reports' annual report on cars or whatever it is they publish, or if you're willing to, go ahead and subscribe via the website and take a look at everything that's in the class that you're interested in buying.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. A lot of comparison.
A ton of comparisons. And frequently, like the top five or the top 10 are within a 10-point spread of each other. And I'm always curious what that 10-point spread is because, like, if I wanted to buy a Nissan Frontier versus a Toyota Tacoma, and they're only 1 point apart, what was that 1 point? Was it the cigarette lighter? In which case, I don't care, right?
Right.
And but anyway, you can learn a ton from Consumer Reports, and being well-informed before you even set foot into a dealership, I think, is the best way to go about buying a car. Because that way, you have the power to say, this is what I want, I know what this car should cost, and don't rip me off or I'm not coming back.
You have to be prepared to walk away.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, absolutely. My question.
Absolutely, because there are 5 gajillion car dealerships in this city alone.
Oh, yeah.
Just in Atlanta. And you have to, if the one that you want is in Marietta and the guy in Atlanta won't give you the price that you want, you go, okay, I'm going to go here. And last time I went to buy a car, I printed off. There was another dealership who had the same car that I was going to get, and the price was very reasonable. It was very low, and I went to the dealership that I went to, and I said, they can give it to me for this.
Yeah.
What can you do?
Right.
Yeah, I think probably you're best prepared if all your questions for the salesman are sales process related.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. That way you don't have to actually be shopping because you've already done the shopping before you show up.
And then I got the one that was pretty.
Yeah. And then you're like, okay, yes, I'll take the green one.
I tried to do hard bargaining for a rare color on a car I was buying years ago, and I lost because I was just too late, and you know the model year was winding to a close, and they just didn't have that color left anywhere in North America.
Oh,
but
man.
I tried.
Well,
Mako.
Oh, there's that, yeah.
Buy the new car, change the color right away. But maybe you guys can answer this question. Is there a difference between a new car buying process and a used car buying process?
That depends. The car I have now, I bought used, fairly late model. It was like new, as car salesmen like to say. It really was, though.
No, it's pre-owned. It's right. Not used.
Yeah, that and these things are not optional. They're available, right? Yeah, I really hate what's happened to the English language with things like that. But no, I did buy it from a new car dealer, and the process was pretty much the same, except that because it was not a new car and not of the brand that the dealer sold, the only real difference was he couldn't say, well, I can get you this option or this feature.
Right. I've never actually owned a new car. That was the other piece of advice I got when I started driving. Was to never buy a new car, because as soon as you drive it off the lot, it depreciates X amount of dollars.
And that's not always a bad thing.
And I've always been told, and I could be wrong, correct me if I'm wrong, under 2 years, under 30,000 miles.
That's a good guideline.
That's not bad, yeah. And the cars are better and better these days, so the used car isn't as bad a deal as it used to be.
And I've also always been able to negotiate some kind of warranty or service with the used cars. So even though they may say no, there is always someone who will say yes.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So get as much covered as you can.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that's a whole nother topic we should probably, I don't know, think about at some point. Is the extended warranty process really worth it?
No.
Yeah. I think the short answer is no. But I'm wondering if there is, I mean, there's still a market for it, obviously.
Yeah, so. There's somebody out there that's right for it. I used to be able to tell you who, but I've forgotten now.
Yeah.
I don't mean to be snide when I say that, but there is somebody it is right for.
Yeah. So going back to the whole used car buying process, I've never bought a used car from a dealer or from a showroom kind of situation. I've bought used cars from individuals.
Yeah.
And of course, that works a little differently. There is no negotiation. Well, there is a negotiation, but it's very targeted, right? You know what you're looking at. And the only piece of advice that I have for folks who are thinking of buying cars from an individual is get an independent mechanic to give that car the once over. And they'll usually charge you like $50 to $75 to do that.
Yeah, don't buy somebody else's headache.
Right, exactly. Don't buy someone else's headache. If that mechanic says that car is good to go, then you're good.
And a good question when buying a car from an individual is, why are you selling it?
Yeah.
The reason's probably going to be something, you know, fairly mundane and okay, but you never know. If they stumble and obviously seem to be making something up for that question, then be a little wary.
Mm-hmm. Right. Body language is key. Of course, now we're surrounded by people who know how to play poker. But
yeah, if they wear sunglasses when answering all your questions, something's up.
So I hope that helps. I mean, you know, you're here. Any other questions, Misty, about what it means to be buying a car? Or?
Well, another question that popped into my head was, there's a lot of websites, such as Carfax and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
How resourceful are those type of things? And is it information overload, or is it reliable information? It's based on data entry, so...
Right.
How...
Well, up to a point. It will reflect anything with registration status, with title status, for instance, if a car has a salvage title or something like that, but it will not reflect ordinary repairs generally, because a lot of, you know, most shops don't do that kind of thing. They don't report what they're doing, so... And they don't have to, but... Yes, a repair history, no, but... If there's anything with the title or the legal status of the car, that will be on it.
That is one thing about my car, because I did negotiate a service contract for it, is I do have all of the repairs and service that have been done to my vehicle. So if I just wanted to sell it to Mickey, I could go and get a printout of everything that's been done to my car.
Yeah.
Because I'm too lazy to pay for it.
And a lot of dealers will offer you a Carfax as part of the sales process too.
Yeah. But like you said, it sort of depends on how conscientious someone is with doing the actual data entry. There are ways to leave things off of Carfax.
Oh, sure. Yes, there are. In fact, title laundering is a thing. There is one certain state in the United States that will issue a title for pretty much anything. This is how you get around import issues if you've got some gray market collectible or something that otherwise couldn't be titled in the United States. You get it titled in, I think it's Delaware, and then you transfer it to your state. Once Delaware has issued a title to it, all the other states have to under reciprocity.
I think the important question is, why do you know that? What are you doing, Ben, that you shouldn't be doing?
Come back after midnight and I'll show you.
Yeah. We'll have to edit that portion of this recording out. After midnight. Cool. Well, this is great. We got a few minutes left. Is there anything else we wanted to touch on or laugh about or...
Why are synthetic oil changes so expensive?
Oh my God.
I could not make it to my dealership for one of those free oil changes, and it was $89. I had a mild heart attack.
Well, they sell the expensive oil for more. That's the short answer. It costs more to purchase. Does it cost more to make? Maybe. But in most cases, I don't know if it's really worth the extra expense. If you're driving something really high strung, a Ferrari or a Porsche or something, maybe. But for an average everyday car, no. Regular oil's fine.
Yeah, there were some people who were trying to extol the virtues of synthetic oil over regular old rock juice, and I don't know that the difference isn't really worth it.
And honestly, synthetic oil is rock juice. It's just been chemically, blended a little bit differently.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, right. And so the one
mostly.
Guy, yeah. Yeah. The one guideline I have heard was, if your engine is really old, or if it's burning well, obviously don't buy the synthetics.
Yeah.
Otherwise, synthetics are actually okay.
Yeah, the high mileage formulas that most of the oil companies have out now are pretty okay. I use them in an ailing Golf that I used to have, and yeah, no issues. It was good oil.
So I don't think that answers Katrina's question, though.
Well, in a roundabout way, yeah. If you're driving an average everyday car, don't bother with the synthetic.
Even if the service guy is saying, this is the only oil your car will take.
He's trying to upsell you.
That bastard.
Yeah. As long as what your car will take is anything that is within an acceptable range of the prescribed viscosity.
Which in Georgia is pretty wide.
Yeah, and the most important thing about oil is to have oil in your engine and to change it occasionally. That's far more important than worrying about what kind of oil it is.
Right.
Good to know.
And change the filter regularly too.
The what?
The filter.
Okay.
Which if you have a professional do it, they should. They really should.
Ben and your funny words.
I thought of something.
Yeah.
How frequent do you change the oil? Does it depend on use?
Yes.
Yeah, well, if you drive frequently, like a regular commuter, you want to check your car's owner's manual. It'll have a recommendation. But for most cars now, every 6 to 10,000 miles is pretty good.
Used to say 3,000, but that's not even the case anymore.
Right. A lot of people still do it because they say it's cheap insurance. No, it's not. It's wasting oil.
It's wasting oil.
Because modern oils are so much better than they were in those days. And modern engines are so much better. The modern engine, you'll notice that the viscosity of oil that the engines take now is much thinner than it used to be. We used to put 1040 in our cars.
Yep.
In some cases 2050 if you have an old flat tappet engine.
Yeah.
Now they're taking 520 or 020.
Yep.
The oils are thinner because the engine tolerances are much closer, which means as things move, they don't wobble in the bearing as much. There's a lot less friction. The metallurgy of the bearings is better. The chemistry of the oil is better. So the oil is very durable now. Most cars, 6 to 10,000 miles is fine. If you really want to go crazy, there are companies that will do oil analysis for you and tell you when. But if you don't drive very frequently, do it every 6 months.
Excellent.
Okay. Cool.
Sounds good.
Great. So thanks for joining us. Again, this was another episode of The Thing About Cars. Yet another reminder that we'd like to see you on our Facebook page. You can always submit questions and comments to us there on the Facebook page.
I'm Katrina.
We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening. This has been The Thing About Cars. We'll see you on the road.